All right, today's topic is on how and when to use a capo. Well, first of all, for the downloading a piece of sheet music, or not sheet music, just one of those free imitations of sheet music from, like, you know, Ultimate Guitar Tabs or something, where it just has the lyrics and chords, and it actually tells you to capo what fret, you know, that, then obviously you follow those instructions. But a lot of times, where and how to use a capo is not explicitly expressed. It's up to you to kind of figure out what would be best. Let me take an example. Suppose you want to play a song out of a book, and the chords are B-flat, E-flat, and F. Now, assuming that bar chords is out of your immediate grasp, or if you haven't learned any bar chords yet, and you just learn open chords, you know, how can you play this song? Do you just have to sit out and let the rest of the band play it, or choose not to play it at all? No, you can play it right away if you figure out where to put the capo. You have to have some knowledge of the way the notes work in terms of, Big Cats Eat Fish. And what I mean by that is there's a half step between B and C and a half step between E and F. Big Cats Eat Fish. You've heard that a million times, but now we're putting it to work, you know. It means that there's no sharper flat note between B and C, but there is a sharper flat note between all the other letters, namely between A and B. There's A sharp or B flat, same note, it's called two different names. Between C and D, you got C sharp or D flat. Between D and E, you got D sharp or E flat, etc. But not between E and F and B and C. So how does that relate to this? So you got to do a B flat, an E flat, and an F. First of all, just to play a B flat, right? You have to think, okay, well, what chord, if the capo raises the fret area, the capo raises you up, it increases the pitch. If you took a G chord, right, do this with me. If you did a G chord and then put the capo on fret 1 and play the G chord, what would be the name of that chord? Yeah, good, play it. So that's, you're playing a G chord with the capo on fret 1. But to the human, you know, to other instruments, let's say, if you're playing with a pianist or clarinet or something, what would be the real name of that chord? Like the actual non-guitar name, like what you hear in the world. What would a piano player have to play in order to play that sound? Okay, so are you not sure of the answer? And if not, that's a good thing. I'll guide you, you know, for the purposes of the record.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so you took a G chord up how many steps? A half step or a whole step?
Half,
because on the guitar, a half step is worth 1 fret and a whole step is worth 2 frets. And so, using Big Cats Eat Fish, G to A is not one of those, right? So how far is it from G to A? 2 frets or 1?
2.
But you only went 1. So you're not quite at the A. So what could you call that note? Or that chord, rather.
An A flat.
An A flat. And there's another name for it.
A G sharp.
You got it. That's exactly right. So you're playing an A flat, and it's called concert. You're playing a concert A flat. Concert simply means what we hear in the reality. You know? You're playing a concert A flat, and so a pianist who doesn't have to worry about transposing, if you know he or she plays an A flat, then there you go, you're in business. The other reason we use the word concert is for instruments like, let's say, a trumpet, you know, which is they're thinking C, no sharps or flats to them, but to us it comes out as B flat. So do you ever wonder why on the back of certain books it'll say for all C instruments? Or something like, if you get a fake book and it says for C instruments, it means concert C. It means when we play a C chord, it actually sounds like a C in the world. Now, but anyway, I'm digressing. You don't need to know all that. But what you do need to know is, okay, now you just got an A flat. So, going back to our example is B flat, E flat, and F. For it to play the B flat, all right, you could do one of two things. You could simply take the capo up to fret 3 and play a G chord. Do that. So now you move the capo up 3 frets and you're playing a G chord. How do you know that that's B flat? Well, number one, I just told you. Number two, think about your notes. You went 1.5 steps. Well, 1 step up from G is what?
A.
And then another half step up from A is
B flat,
or you could call it what?
A sharp.
A sharp means the exact same thing. This is good stuff. So we're actually putting your theory to use here. So that's one way you could play in a B flat. Let me hear that chord again. All right. What about using a chord that was near the B flat, but just below it? Like, what's a nearer note to B flat, below B flat, than G?
A,
exactly. All right, so here's the million-dollar question to see if you're following this. What fret, let's take the capo off for a second, and you're playing A, but you got to get to B flat. Where do you have to put the capo now to get to take A to B flat? Let's hear your A chord for a second. Yeah, go ahead, play A. Because I know you don't know the answer to this, I'm going to guide you. Just play A. And you want to get to B flat, don't you? Right? So how far is the note A to the note B flat? Half step, whole step?
Half step.
Up, right?
Yeah.
And so if it's a half step up, what fret do you have to put the capo on?
The first.
Yeah, that's all. You got the answer. Well done. He got the million-dollar question. It was a million-dollar question. Doesn't mean he gets a million-dollar payoff. But he does have this knowledge for the rest of his life. Go ahead and put that capo on fret one. Okay? And he's playing B flat now. He took an A chord up a half step. Now, if I keep my capo at fret three and play a G shape, will we sound the same? Of course we will. Here we go. So that's how you do it. How do you determine which one's best to use? Well, that's determined by the other chords in the shape. All right? So let's work backwards. The B flat, your progression again is B flat, E flat, and F. But now you're going to put it at capo fret one. And now your B flat, you don't have to think anymore. You can just think a half step below. All right, let's look at the E flat chord. What would be a half step below that in the musical alphabet? By the way, for those listening, and for you right now, if you want to get the keyboard, the diagram of the keyboard that has where the half steps are and everything, that could probably help. Sorry I didn't suggest that sooner. You've been doing it abstractly up till now, but you can use it by all means. All right, so we took the B flat down to A. And where's what's a half step down from E flat?
D.
Yeah. And then what about the F chord? And again, our sequence is B flat, E flat, F. If we take F down a half step, then what would it be?
E.
Yeah, that. So that's one way to do it. You could capo the A D capo fret one and play A D or E, and let's play that together. I'll play B flat, E flat, and F. You play A, D, and E with capo at fret 1. Makes the same difference. 1, 2, 3, go. And then just, yeah, like one bar each. Good, I didn't really say how much the values were, but that was fine. All right, that's one way to do it. Nothing wrong with that. But suppose for some reason you prefer G. Let's give an example of how and why you might prefer G. This isn't supposed to be like a universal, you'll now perfectly understand every single situation, but sometimes certain keys fit the song better. All right, so you may choose to do the capo on fret 3 and do a G chord first. All right, let me give you an example of why you might do that. All right, I'll give you an example. Suppose the F chord was an F add 4. It's called an F add 4. Now this may sound intimidating to some people, but the when you're in the key of G, I'll come back to F in a second, but let's take the key of G for a second. The chord in question is F add 11 or add 4. Right, and you've never seen that before. Rather than trying to learn what the heck that is, you do already know, let's assume you already know, how to play a D at 11. Okay? You don't know how to play an E at 11, so you're not going to use the capo fret 1, the key of A, but you can put the capo at fret 3 because then you know how to play a D11. There's a step I skipped, and I'm sorry I skipped this. When you put the capo at fret 3, you've taken your guitar up a step and a half, right? 3 half steps. So if you weren't sure why I played G there, now you can see it. When we go down 3 half steps from B flat, we go A, A flat to G. There's our G. All right, let's take our whole progression. When we go from E flat down 3 frets, down 3 half steps, we go D, D flat, and C, right? And then when we do the F, we go down 3 fret or 3 half steps, and what do we get? Going down 3 steps.
G.
Yeah, D. Yeah. That's right. So instead of B flat, E flat, and F, we got G, C, and D, right? At capo fret 3. So what you've done is you've hiked up 3 frets. We went up 3 frets on your guitar, but now you got to transpose the chords down 3 half steps to make up for it, to still sound the same. Does that make sense? Your overall net sum is still B flat. Does that make sense? You sure about that? You sure about what we just did? Your capo, you can only go up on a capo. You can't go down. You can't put it on minus 2 or something.
Yeah.
So we're going up. In the first example, we transposed the key from B flat to A because we brought the capo up a half step, and that meant we had to play the chord, whatever chord is down a half step from B flat, to equal out the fact that we went up with the capo. So it still comes out. I know it's confusing. We took the capo, I'm reiterating, when you wanted to B flat, you took the capo up 1 fret and you played the chord that's down 1 fret from B flat to equal it out, right? So your total net is 0. Your total net plus or minus is 0. In the key of G, we took the capo up 3 frets and we played the chord that was down 3 half steps from B flat and we got to G. So it's a bit of math you have to do, right? I'm not saying you're going to get this overnight, but this is how you do it. Now, what I'm at right now is, why would I choose one over the other? How do I know whether it's better to go capo fret 1 and play A, D, and E, or capo fret 3 and play G, C, and D? Well, I added an extra layer to our proposed song so I could illustrate an example of why you might want to do that. Because you don't know how to do F add 4, you do know how to do D 11. Right now, you don't know how to do that, but I'm going to show you right now. If you play a C chord at the 3rd fret, technically it's called an E flat now, but we'll call it C. Yep. Move that up 2 frets without doing any bars. Yep. And isn't that a pretty chord right there? Let's hear that again, nice and slow. Like, beautiful chord, right? So he took the first three, the fingers 1, 2, and 3 on a C shape that he did at the with the capo at fret 3, and he was playing the C shape, the C chord on fret 4, starting on fret 4, right? And now he took it up to fret 6, and he played it. That's called a D add 11 or add 4, okay? So play that chord. Yeah, and that fingering is way easier than trying to figure out in the other example, if we had put the capo on fret 1 to try and figure out an E add 4 or E add 11 or something. That just happens to be a nice and easy guitaristic chord to use. This is just an example of how and when to put the capo, right? So play 1 bar each of these 3 chords. Technically, he's playing B flat, E flat, and F add 11. But in his head, now that he already put the capo on fret 3, he's just playing G, C, and D add 11. 1 bar each. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. Yeah, do that one for 2 bars since it's so pretty. And back again. Yeah, good. Let's hear it. I forgot to tell you, don't play the very top string, the first string, just the middle 4. Go ahead, right there with that chord. So not this guy. two, three, go. That's beautiful. One more time, the whole progression. So a little bit of, you may think, like, why would you want to go through all this mental work to figure all this, as my son would say, crud, figure all this crud out, right? This is what happens when I start hanging out with him too often. I start saying stuff like that, calling everybody dude and saying crud. Next thing you know, I'll be out going buy a pair of Curry sneakers or something. A little bit of mental work allows you to A, play a song that you weren't able to play before, B, play it with voicings that would be very tough in that original key. Like for me to show you an F at 11, it would take a long time and not be realistic. So this is, the capo is a great tool that I rarely talk about. Before we stop, however, there's one other way that you can use a capo. Because I didn't address it, what happens if a singer says, my voice is too low for that song. Let's just take the example we just had in G, C, and D. You know, we had G, C, and D at 11, right? So I know we had B flat, but now I'm saying the key is G, right? So we play G. To D at 11, you know, and it's a very beautiful song, and the singer says, it sounds good, Brian, but my voice is too low. Can you bring that up? And now what do you say? Sure I can. No problem. What key would you like? Well, I'm not really sure, but just up from there. And so then I would say, if I were in that position, well, up a lot or a little? And they would say, just a bit, I guess. So, you know, put the capo at fret 2 and see how they like it. And now you don't have to transpose nothing. You're still going to play G, C, and D the same way you just did, right? And see if they like it. 3, 4. And then, of course, if they say that's perfect, or if they say a little further up, then you just find the right fret. All right? That's part one of this secondary use of the capo, which is to accommodate a vocalist or for a key that he or she doesn't really like. Well, here's the catch. What if they say, can you bring it down? When you were in G, what if they say, can you bring it down? My voice is too high. The song is too high for my voice. Can you bring it down? Now what do you say? You're like, well, no, I can't, because I can't make the capo go down from fret 0. But you can make the capo go down from fret 12. Right? No, for those listening, I hope you know that the two dots on your guitar at fret 12 are there because everything repeats there. When you have a G chord, let's take the capo off for a second. And everything repeats there. So when you play G at the 3rd fret, could you also move those same 3 fingers to 3 frets above the 12th fret? What would that sound like? So in other words, you know, the same 3 fingers that play G, but instead of on frets 3, 2, and 3, now you're going to be on 15, 14, and 15. I know this sounds weird. So put finger 1 on string 5, fret 14. Put finger 2 on string 6, fret 15. One more fret up. Yep. And then put the 3rd finger on the same fret as the 2nd finger, fret 15. And the middle strings you're going to play open. And see what it sounds like. Isn't that weird? You could still play a G. Now, you're not going to do this in real life, but I just wanted to point out that it's available. Like, you probably never explored this before, and how is this useful? I will show you in a minute. Certainly not just to play a fancy way of playing the key. But you could do any chord like that. Let's take D, for example. Play an open D chord all the way down here at the open position. And then it's frets 2, 3, and 2, right? So if you take that up an octave, I'll let you tell me. It's going to be two frets above fret 12. Fret 12 is one with two dots. Yeah. So, good. So please tell us what the fret numbers are.
Fourteen.
You got it. Exactly right. And so if you did that, very interesting sound. Now, I'm not showing you this just so you can play fancy G, Ds and things. Although, you know, if you have a song in D and you want a nice ending, you can play. You know, and that's a cool stunt you can pull. But that's not why I'm showing you. I'm showing you because of the cyclical nature of these strings. So if a singer says, I can't sing that high, can you please bring it down? You say, sure, right? Which is, you put the capo below fret 12. Suppose you put it on fret 9, for example. Go one fret down, yeah. You know, and then play your G, C, and D progression. All right? So 1, 2, 3. My bad. I think it was my bad. I'm not transposing correctly. Okay, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. And then up a whole step for your D11 thingy. That's right. May not be the best key in the world, but okay. Push. This part, I'm gonna go a little faster. I think we're. This is pretty much all I wanted to tell you right now. But food for thought on this, okay? If you took the time to figure this out of what key you're actually in concert. All right, so I'm not expecting you to do the mental work on this now, but I do want you to listen back later and figure this, what I'm about to say, out, okay? You have your capo at fret 9. You're actually playing G, okay? So, you knew that to play G an octave up would have the second finger on the 15th fret of the 6th string. Right? But when you're playing it in the position you're playing it, that finger is on the 12th fret, which is down three frets. So if you look at your keyboard and you go down three half steps from G, you're actually playing in the key of E. Right? Mm-hmm. And if you did that with all the other chords, C becomes A, D becomes B. So if you weren't playing a capo in this new key that your singer liked now, so there's two ways of writing. You could either write G, C, and D, capo, fret 9, or you could diagnose the actual concert key and write E, A, and B. Because if you play what you played and I play E, A, and B, then it'll come out this way. Right? So let's see if I'm right. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. Good. This is right. Okay? So everything sounds right. There's one problem though. You don't know how to play a B at 11. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad and say I do and you don't. That's not it at all. Doing that is not necessarily a good option for you if that's the chord. But if the chord was just regular G, C, and D, and you knew E, A, and B, you could certainly do that. By doing a little math with the big cat see fish thing, you could figure out the actual key. Let's go one step further, and then I'll stop, because you're going to re-listen to all this. One step further. If she liked, let's say it's a she, your singer, because then I can distinguish between, you know, you and she, right? if she likes the key of E, but you don't know B, 11, B at 11, I would ask myself, well, what other keys could I play this in? What other, the B at 11 is what's hanging me up, because I don't know how to do that. Do I know any other at 11s besides the, and I'm, again, I'm just using this as an example. Perhaps I shouldn't have used this, because most people listening to this are going to think, well, I don't know any D11s. But I'm just giving you an example of why I might choose a different key altogether, or an entirely different place to put the capo. And this is, you know, just something to begin to open up your eyes. You don't have to follow these examples. You're not expected to be able to think up these examples, think up alternatives to the way I'm doing things on the fly. I'm just opening you up to different possibilities of how to use this thing. So what I'm getting at is, suppose that I knew a G at 11. That's a pretty easy chord, or this. You know, that's an easy chord, and it's not a question of me showing it to you right now. It's not important. But since I know a G at 11, and I needed a B, then I have to ask myself, okay, if I know G at 11, but the real chord is B, then how much further down am I playing it? Well, the answer is two whole steps. G is two whole steps below B. So how much do I have to put the capo up in order to balance that out? The answer is 4 frets. 2 whole steps equals 4 frets, right? So I put the capo at fret 4, and I play my little G suspended, G at 11, I'm sorry. Then the 6th string is actually being played at the 7th fret, which is B, the note B, and there everything lines up. I think you would be able to do this on the fly. And so now I'm going to transpose the whole rest of this to accommodate the key of E. Remember, the key that the singer liked is key of E, E, A, and B at 11. And now I put the capo on the 4th fret, which means I have to take each of these chords down 2 frets in order to accommodate for the fact that I brought this capo up two whole steps. Now I'm confusing myself. So do it with me. E, we have to go down 2 whole steps. What chord is that?
C.
C, absolutely. What about A?
F.
You got it. And then, of course, the B I had already told you before, down 2 whole steps from B is?
G.
So if you took capo fret 4 and played C, F, and then your A, you know, because some chords, some tunes just fit certain keys better. Like I remember playing Landslide, which I can't remember how to play right this minute. Well, maybe I do remember. I'm thinking of a different song. It's I can't remember after that. If someone was singing the melody, I could do it. But you know, that's a song that's sort of very specific to that key, the key of C. And so I would just go up or down accordingly to the singer's needs. But if it wasn't so imperative that I played it with those particular voicings, you know, just a generic G at 11 or B at 11, however I voiced it, now I'm in control of where to put the capo. I know this is a little, it's probably going a bit fast for a lot of you, but you can listen back to this. I think the general idea is there. The last point I just want to say is, Playing it like you had with the capo on fret 9, and doing G, C, and D. Was a bit not that easy, and it starts getting a little tinny up there. So I transpose it, and then you can hear it's the sound. The overall sound is going to be the same. Now I'm thinking C with the capo at fret 4. Thank you. everybody's happy now. So there's always a happy medium, and doing a little, being willing to do a little math can save you lots of hard work learning tricky chords. Yes, it's math and thinking up front, which no one likes to do, but do it on paper. Have a little keyboard diagram in front of you and figure out, okay, if I'm going, if the capo is going up by how far, now I have to transpose the chords down by how far, like that. You know, I hope this makes sense. Have fun and let me know your questions.